extend Christian greetings to each one present this evening. It's a tremendous blessing to see the house filled for a special occasion like this. I count it a great privilege to be here, not because of being a speaker, but because of a baptismal service is always a joyous occasion. I think of two verses in the Bible when I think of a baptismal service. One of them is my favorite verses, and I believe it's a favorite verse for the child of all children of God. It's John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Can you let your imagination go with me tonight just a little bit? When God is up in high heaven, and he looks down and sees these three young sisters wanting to be identified with the bride of Christ, he says, "It was well worth it to send my only Son down there to give his life to save these three souls." But you know what, brothers and sisters, friends, and anybody who's here this evening? That's for whosoever will. And I think when he looks down and he sees someone who has availed themselves to it, it means brings glory to him. The second verse I think about is in John 3, where it says, "I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth." And I believe that's your parents' desire and blessing this evening. You have no idea what it means to your parents for you to make the most important decision in life when you come to the crossroads of life to choose you as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We want to wish the three sisters the Lord's richest blessings and your homes that you represent. That last song that we sang, "Choose My Path, O Blessed Savior." In November 1977, when I was baptized and became a member of the body of Christ, I had no idea that in July of 2018 that I would be standing here preaching a message. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, God has never let me down. But I must say, I have let him down. But he's always standing there with an outstretched hand and saying, "Come back. I'm here to strengthen you." I don't know what you're expecting for a message this evening. The title of this message this evening is Victorious Christian Living. In some ways, sisters, this evening, the rest of you are going to listen in. I'm going to pour it on these three souls. But don't get discouraged. It's not that bad. It'd be nice sometimes if we could tell tonight your ticket stamped for glory. But you know, the trials of life that you're going to face bring honor and glory to God. A loving God is going to allow those things to happen. I appreciate the devotional. The key to victorious Christian living is humility, the willingness to be taught. What is victorious Christian living? It is the power to overcome sin, self, and the world, here and now. So many times people have the idea of victory is something that we can have in the future. I'm here to tell you, you can have it tonight. I trust you're experiencing that. Victory is defeat of the enemy. Satan despises victorious Christian living because he lost his grip. But I'm here to tell you, sisters, the God we serve is so much more powerful than the gods of this world. And Satan and all his devices is no match. And I'd like to encourage anyone, if you're struggling in your Christian life and you feel overwhelmed by Satan's and the tactics, Satan cannot tolerate the blood of Jesus Christ, because it was utterly defeat when that blood flowed from my Savior's side. We serve a risen Savior. The grave couldn't retain him. Satan cannot tolerate those things. And that's the sign of the victorious Christian living. But victorious Christian living is not attainable by myself. It is not sinless perfection always, necessarily. It doesn't mean that you'll never be tempted. It doesn't mean that self is eradicated. If you love chocolate candy before you were a Christian, if you love chocolate candy today, you'll probably still love chocolate candy tomorrow after the baptism. That doesn't change. But your appetite for what you're going to feed upon for your soul is a change of difference. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." That was my opening thought. When I think of the gift of God, not of works,
lest any man should boast. If I could say, I have done this, that's why I'm saved. All I have done is fell down on my knees and cried out for mercy. And God, in his great mercy, in his love, said, I sent my son to die and to cleanse your heart and to make you free. The greatest gift that we can ever experience. If you're here this evening and are not enjoying the victorious Christian life, I invite you to get on your knees and to let Jesus Christ search your heart as a friend and as your Savior. Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So how do we become saved? How do we remain saved? How can we know we're saved? These are all questions that go through young Christians' minds at times. And we want to look to the scriptures. There's one thing I'd like to share with you from the start here, sisters. And if the crowd doesn't agree with me, that's fine. I'll still state my cause. There's a lot of good devotional books out there. But let me tell you something, sisters. There's nothing that replaces this. Amen. Never will. Because this is the inspired word of God. And I find it a tremendous blessing in life. How many Old Testament stories that we can look at and learn from. How many beautiful verses are in the Psalms and the Proverbs. And we come in the New Testament. And how fitting those things are for all sicknesses that mankind face today. But we fail to look at the operator's manual so many times. So look at, for your devotions, look to the inspired word of God. Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. This evening, sisters, you are saying, I am being willing to be identified as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't like that. That's fine. That's his kingdom. We're talking about God's kingdom this evening. But verse 18, I trust you've experienced this. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. What a transformation. People want to talk about miracles and great events. Yes, it was a great event when the world was created. That was a tremendous thing. But I still believe personally the greatest miracle that ever happens is when a sinner becomes a saint. Can you explain to me how that works? All I can say is the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to break it down on what chemicals do what. I'm saying the blood has a cleansing effect, and always cling to that. So keys to victorious Christian living. You experience some of them. Romans 3:23, realize that you have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's past tense. Galatians 2:20. Can't recite this verse right now, I'm sorry. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Never lose appreciation for the gift that Jesus is given for you. He gave his life that you don't have to go to hell. He gave his life that you can enjoy life. You can enjoy being a Christian. You may have tears of joy at times. That's perfectly fine. You may weep over a failure. You may find struggles in life. But remember always that Jesus loves you and he cares for you. And he done everything he possibly could for you. And so just place your hand into his. So many times a hindrance to victorious Christian living is not what man thinks if I made a confession, but what does God think of it and what does it do for your Christian life? You may find that you're going to fail. But it takes a woman to say, I'm sorry. Anybody can try to cover it up. But when we say, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing effect is always a good feeling after the results. The fourth point we need for victorious Christian living is surrender. Absolute yielding to God of the whole body, spirit, your body being placed under his control to let him do just what he pleases. Tonight, you probably think, well, that's what I want to do. But you know, tomorrow when you're barefoot in the garden, or maybe next week, or maybe 3 weeks from now, you may find that struggle, but don't become discouraged. This baptismal service this evening is a monument for you to look back upon. To us that have been baptized for a number of years, it was a special occasion. Occasions like this bring back many precious memories. And I'm hoping it's created an appetite for those younger ones coming on that they want to be identified with the bride of Christ. Being crucified with Christ because he loved me. Willing to be made willing. My flesh cringes sometimes. I don't know how the other ordained brethren find it sometimes, but sometimes it'd be nice to listen to someone else. But then we think, we are called to do and we want to do whatever God asks us to do. Is it sit or stand up? Just do what God asks you to do. I'd like to challenge you this evening, sisters. Whatever God asks you to do, he has a plan for you to give you an expected end. You may be, as we go back into Jeremiah, where it talks about the potter having the clay on the wheel and is turning and he's working those lumps on. And you may think that the lumps are pretty well all worked out by now. I don't know, maybe once you get 80, maybe they're all worked out. I don't know, but I'm not there yet. But I know there's a lot of lumps in this lump yet. But I found out the touch of the potter is not a bad feeling because he loves me and is preparing for me tomorrow, preparing me for when he returns. Always remember that. Philippians 4, verse 13. Remember, all sins can be forgiven. Maybe I need to clarify that, except the sin against the Holy Ghost. But Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things which through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can't do everything by yourself, but you can do it whatever God asks. Remember, wherever God's finger points, his grace always travels that direction with you. 1 John 1, 9, you can experience forgiveness. I trust you have experienced forgiveness. But I also know, Lord Terry's, you're going to need to be forgiven some more. But 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us the sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, the key is, if we confess, acknowledge our failure. You're human. You're going to make mistakes. But when God forgives us, he puts us as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's in Psalm 103, verse 12. How far is the east from the west? What he's saying, he's not holding against us anymore, those past sins. I couldn't bear to carry that load. But I'm thankful this evening that we can put them upon and have them covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be forgiven presently, right now. John 15, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Right now, there's forgiveness. There's also future forgiveness. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So often, you know why we fail. Most of us as parents probably have experienced this. But you know, when our children were small, we'd go somewhere and we'd hold on their hand. And they'd tug. They want to go here. They want to go there. But you let danger come in upon them and they didn't mind holding on to mom and daddy's hand. You know, sometimes we gain too much self-confidence and we let go of the master's hand. And then we find us out there in the danger field. But always remember, sisters, that Jesus is always standing there with an outstretched hand waiting for you to return. Waiting for you to return. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God will give you the grace as needed. Grace is not something that necessarily put it in the warehouse for future use. It's something that we receive as we need it. We use the expression that Jesus saves me now. The very presence of Jesus does what to you? It saves you. Who? It saves you personally. This very moment, you can experience that and enjoy that life of living a life free from sin. Romans 7, verse 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. You're going to find it's a battle sometimes. Satan's going to come along and try to fill your mind. We talked about the heart this morning. Satan's going to come along and come put filler material in there. Is it ill-reading material? Whatever it is. Because he wants to wear your immune system down. But remember, keep your mind on the goal. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. Let's turn to 1 John. I'd like to look at a couple of verses. If you ever struggle with the assurance of salvation, anyone, turn to 1 John. There is many beautiful verses there that are so fitting for whatever you're facing in those journeys of life. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You're going to find in life sometimes that you feel a temptation that's just going to overtake you. You can't help yourself. But remember again, I come back to say, remember the God we serve. Satan can't tolerate him. That's how big a God we serve. But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 4, the world in this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. When is that victory possible? Right now. Tomorrow, all the tomorrows that God gives to you, that victory is possible. Remember, victorious Christian living is a gift from God, and use it as a gift, not as a right. It's a gift of God. Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20. Here's, I believe, a reason sometimes people live in defeat, because they forget to thank God. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sisters, this evening, to all of us that are Christians, if you have a problem with being thankful, I don't think you're understanding what you have been spared from, the bottomless pit. I don't have a right to go to heaven. It's a gift of Jesus Christ that he's given to me. And what does that do? It puts a song in our heart. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings an expression. It brings something that we can enjoy life. The gift of God. Another thing about victorious Christian living, be alert and open about your weaknesses. Don't let Satan make you think that you're the only one, that you're the odd one. You're the only one that has this problem. Because isolation is one of Satan's tactics to get people to defeat. But you will find, talk to your mother, talk to other Christian youth, you will find that your trials and your struggles are very similar to what somebody else is facing. But remember, Jesus was tempted in all manners. I can't fully understand this verse. Maybe somebody explain it to me sometime. Was tempted in all manner like we are. Now we say men are tempted differently than women. We have all these things we break down. How could Jesus handle all of those and still come through divine? But he went through those things. He understands it. So just tell Jesus exactly how you feel. Just pour out your heart. Maybe you can't say words. That's perfectly fine. Tears are a language that God understands. And through those moments in your bedroom, on your knees, crying out, God can give you victory, give you strength that you didn't know you had. Romans 8:28 is a promise that we can claim. It's for all of us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This does not say that everything's going to go the way we want it. But it's always, as I look back over my short span of time in life, the trials that I faced, some of the things that I didn't know what to do, but as I let them, tried to follow God's plan, and I look back to them, I can say this verse is very true. God has a plan for you to give you an expected end. We have that verse in Isaiah. So those things, those trials, but your Christian life must be maintained. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of energy, but it's worth it all. Remember, Jesus wants you to have victory. Flipping to the negative side of this, why do some people live in defeat? I want to hasten to say, living in defeat should not be the norm of a Christian. But I also believe that we are living in a time, brothers and sisters, that our immune systems are wearing down. And that's why there is defeat in the Christian life too often. So how do we take care of that? Let's turn to Psalm 5, verse 3. How do you maintain a healthy Christian life? Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shall hear, shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. I would like to challenge anyone here this evening, especially to you sisters. Every morning when you wake up, you thank God that you have a mind that you can think upon Him. Because outside of that, what were you going to do? That is real to me. An older brother, I mentioned him, remember him many times praying that he thanked God that he had a mind that he can think upon Him. And as I ponder that, as I go through life, it's been a real inspiration to me that I have the ability to think upon God. I don't understand everything in God's Word necessarily. That's not what I'm talking about. But just the thought that I could connect with God. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, remember, Satan is going to try to put distance between you. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. But today we have too many carpets in our houses, I guess, that we can't kneel down anymore. I'm not sure what's wrong. But Satan knows where you get your power from, and so that's where he's going to try to attack you and wear it down. Have that relationship with God. Thank God. In the night, if you wake up, what do you think about? Yes, we may think what we're going to do the next day. And I know this sounds very childish, but there's times I've woke up at night already and I thought, well, you know, God's not near as busy right now. He has a lot more time to talk with me than He does normally. And we know that's not true. But it blesses my heart because I can think upon Him. I can talk to Him then. He's always on call. But why do people live in defeat? Because of lack of an effective prayer life. It's just like eating. If you don't eat, you can't maintain your vitality. Psalm 119, verse 11. Let's turn to some of these verses. Why do some people live in defeat? Verse 10 and 11. They fail to do these two verses. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Bible memorization, Bible reading. You're at the age where you can memorize a lot better than you can. I'm not old, but I am an older youth. But memorization doesn't go like it used to. But yet I am blessed when I can think of those verses. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Satan comes at me with something to try to trip me up. And just like that, there's a verse that comes to my mind, or part of me, a verse, and it fits the needs of the hour. Hide the word of God in your heart. Make it part of your life. And may I use the King James Version. Use the inspired word of God. Don't use these watered down versions. that don't define sin as sin. Why do some live in defeat? Because of maybe of lack of Christian family and support. That's very real to some people. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you find yourself in that circumstance in life, God's grace is still sufficient. There, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, we go back to the Old Testament. Again, we have an example. And look at what all the hardships Joseph faced. And yet when he found himself in the hour of temptation, it says he got himself out. He was a real inspiration. Look at Old Testament characters. There's different ways of reading parts of the Bible. Another reason that some people live in defeat, because they lack supporting the Christian church. Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. Lost my last verses, parts of that verse. But so much more as you see the day approaching. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how much more time we have before the Lord returns. That's not really the important part. The important part is, are you and I looking forward to the Lord's return? Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, naturally speaking, you're running a race, and as you see the finish line approaching, it puts in more vigor and more zeal. As I think of the finish line approaching, I don't know how much time I have here in this life, but I'll tell you one thing. When I think of that eternity without end, it gives me more of a zeal to be involved in the inspired Word of God and letting God search my heart and reading the operator's manual for the Christian life and to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. I appreciated the emphasis that was put on that becoming, being baptized and being part of the church. Why wouldn't you want to be part of the church? What's Jesus coming back for? The bride of Christ. And I want to be part of the bride of Christ. That doesn't just mean this congregation here. It's the church at large, the Christian church at large. That's why some people live in defeat, because of lack of participation in church life. Another reason some people live in defeat, because they fail to forgive others. Dear sisters, the Bible says offenses will come. And we think that's going to happen out there. I don't know how life is in Ohio, so I can speak freely. I think I know human nature partially. But you're going to be offended by your best friends. But you know what the best thing you can do for them? Forgive them. That's the best way of taking care of it. Forgive them. Why do you want to hold a grudge against anybody? Because the Bible clearly says in Matthew chapter 6, if I don't forgive those that offend me, then I can't be forgiven. I have shut the door to go to heaven if I can't forgive someone. And brothers and sisters, life is too short. Eternity is too long to hold a grudge against anyone. But you are going to be offended because you're human. But forgive. And then forgive again. And if you have to forgive again. Another reason some people live in defeat is because their lack of love for others. Another reason that some people live in defeat, they think temptation is sin. Understand that. That's not, temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. And yet he didn't yield. It's the yielding. But Satan and his tactics comes along, especially if you're one with a sensitive conscience. He may come along and tell you, make you feel because you were tempted that you were a bad person. That's not true. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we're not going to turn to that, but brings out those things. Why do some people live in defeat? Because they procrastinate restitution. Another reason they live in defeat, because they make excuses, not taking personal responsibility for actions they have done. Another reason this comes into the sensitive conscience side again, they may blame themselves for things that were out of their control. They bring self-condemnation and they bring discouragement upon themselves. This is from Satan. Remember, the Holy Spirit always directs you in the holy way. And if you are tempted, don't let Satan say,
that the temptation was wrong. It's the yielding part. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but sure don't give them a place to build a nest. And that's what so many times happens. If you know your weak points, you have weak points. You're human. But don't condemn yourself for maybe not being as strong as you should have been, or maybe not doing something. Why do some people live in defeat? Remember, failure is a possibility, but it's not a necessity. Another reason some people live in defeat, this is kind of putting everything in a nutshell, but I have found many times if someone is struggling in their Christian life, the first thing you can ask them is, how's your devotional life? How's your prayer life? And many times you find those two sources are weak. And that is why they're failing. They're feeling condemned. They are feeling sad. But remember, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You can pray that to God. And if he says, gives you a peace signal, may I say, use that term, and he does not reveal anything to you, put your head on your pillow and have a good night's sleep, because all is well. The Spirit is the Comforter will reveal to you if you make a mistake, if you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and if he reveals nothing, be at rest. Satan is out to destroy, to create havoc, whatever he can. But again, remember that God loves you and that he wants you to have peace. Others will see and observe if you have victory. As we think of a person who's carrying a lantern, we have the light of the world. The Bible, the God's word, is a light to our path. If you carry the lantern with you, there's always a circle of light in a lantern with a lantern. We don't have that today. We just turn the switch on, the whole room lights up. But carry a lantern out in the dark. There's a certain circle that travels with you. But you set the lantern down and keep walking. You're going to get into gray, and finally you're going to get into darkness. That's what happens when people lay down their Bible and go on their way. It's no wonder they have left the security of the light. That's why they fail. Dear sisters, this evening, maintain an interest in God's word. Blessings accompanied by the victorious Christian life. I have 8 points here. Meekness and quietness become part of us. Is meekness a blessing? Well, we all enjoy being around meek people, don't we? It's something that we all need to work on. In quietness, the second one we have is submissive to the will of God hourly. You're young. You have aspirations. You're wondering what the future holds. Maybe you want to be a school teacher. Maybe you want to be a maid. Maybe things you have to do. But just submit yourself to God and let him work out the details, because he always does them right. The victorious Christian living. The third point we have is sweetness under provocation. Under test, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can still be a pleasant personality. The fourth one we have is calmness in the midst of turmoil. Sometimes we get a little frazzled out because of the difficulties we face in life. But when we come back in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it brings a calmness. The fifth point we have, the blessing we have, is absence of worry and anxiety. And that's a blessing, again, I'd like to just emphasize. If you're one that has a very sensitive conscience, remember that if you ask Jesus to reveal anything, if there's anything in your life that shouldn't be, and he doesn't reveal anything, you can rest assured that all is well, because the Holy Spirit is always faithful. The sixth point we have, victorious Christian life, self becomes our last concern. You know, we all take care of self pretty good, but if we want to enjoy the Christian life, self is going to die out, and people are going to see that Jesus is radiating forth through our life. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if you walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. others will enjoy being with us. There is such a blessing of Christian youth, Christian fellowship, Christian homes. The world stands in awe when they see godly youth. They expect us more from us old people. But when they see young people that love the Lord, and don't be afraid of witnessing what God has done for you in your life. Another blessing you can have is the assurance of salvation. 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Listen carefully. This is the inspired word of God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than the heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God and get a good night's sleep. We are saved by Christ, kept by Christ, kept victorious by Christ. 1 John 1, 9, be strong and of a good courage. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my strength. Ephesians 6, we have all the armor that is put on. Those are all precious verses. Take a theme if you want to sometime and go through the Bible. Again, I come back. 1 John is loaded with many precious promises that we can claim. In closing, I'd like to give you a promise that you can claim in God's Word. Many times it's a benediction that we have in a service maybe. But in Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Digest these verses, young sisters. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. This evening, I believe you're experiencing true joy in your life. Your sins are forgiven. And Jesus is saying, I have all the provisions made that you don't have to fail. But the next part is a precious part of the verse too. When it comes to us, we come to the end of life, and Jesus brings us up to God, and he says, I present to you, sister, that is faultless. What experience that will be to hear those words, well done, enter thou into the joy of our Lord. You and I have access to live a faultless life when we are surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you, sisters, the homes that are represented here, and use the congregation through this joyful time.